You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hey Google,
stop.
For those that are curious, that's Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon, released 1978. It's a very appropriate song considering the pre-chat that I'm about to do on this episode. As I mentioned on the last Essential Movie Podcast episode, I would be talking about my European business trip. So what I'm going to do is continue the discussion, and this is where that song is very apropos. And our first stop was in London. If you can remember, if you listened to the last one, the last Essential Movie episode, then I had already talked about the journey coming back and going to. But now our first visit, our first place that we went to, and what we really were challenging ourselves was, once we arrived, is trying to stay awake. Our meeting was actually in Ely, which is about, I'd probably say, over an hour train ride from London. I forget which direction it was, if it was north, or it might be north. I don't remember. But anyway, when we got there, we wanted to basically spend the day awake and then get to the hotel in Ely and then crash and then sleep, as you know, try to get ourselves acclimated to the time zone. So the guy I was with had been there before, so he was very familiar, I'd say very familiar, but familiar enough with where the specific touristy things were. Things that I was interested in seeing were Big Ben, Parliament, the Royal Palace, and then what else Big Ben, Eye of London. So for those that aren't familiar, the Eye of London is pretty much that big Ferris wheel looking thing. You'll see it in a lot of modern day movies, and what they do is they have a bunch of pods that you can go in, and it's about, I don't know, 15, 20 people that can go into each one of those pods, and it goes slowly around, and you get a majestic view of London. So no, did not go in the Eye of London because it costs about $25-$30 US. The guy I was with had already done it before with his family, so he wasn't really interested. So if it was one of those things, he would have waited for me, but at that time, it was kind of rainy and gloomy out. I really didn't, you know, I wasn't, and kind of jet lagged, so I really didn't take advantage of that. So that's what we saw first, was that, and then there's like a nice bridge that's there, and you walk across the bridge and you go over to Parliament, which is really cool to see. But then right there in the middle of it was Big Ben. The letdown was that the first time I've ever been in London, and Big Ben is covered with scaffolding. So you really, I really didn't get a chance to see anything other than the clock face. Because, you know, it was just, you know, every bit of the outside wall was, you know, with scaffolding. So it was probably one of those things that obviously had been planned for a while, and they were doing upkeep and making sure it was staying pristine, I am assuming. And that would be the one time, or the first time I'd ever been in London, and that's what I get to see. So that part was a bit of a letdown. I did take a picture of Big Ben in all its scaffolding glory. But yeah, I was like, really? So we do that. We decided to go and walk a little bit further down because we figured out where the Royal Palace was. And we wanted to see the guards, you know, that you can, you know, that you would be able to try to get to laugh or interact with you or talk or whatever, and their job is just to remain stoic. And then when we got to there, we really just kind of poked around, but you weren't able to get so close to have like an interaction with those guards. I think, like I'd seen on a lot of TV shows where people are right next to the guards, that wasn't the case because the outer gate was so far away from them that you really didn't get a chance to interact or be that close to them. But they do look, they do have some very ominous looking like machine guns. And they weren't in what I would consider the traditional outfit, you know, the very fancy outfit. So maybe they only wear those on special occasions. Or because it was rainy and kind of overcast and gloomy, maybe, you know, that was their rain gear. I don't know. But it wasn't as impressive as I had kind of thought it was going to be. But watching those guys walk, you know, with precision steps back and forth, walking their posts and then standing in their spots reminded me a lot of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington Park in Washington, D.C. But just with their European flair for, you know, the way that they take the steps, which is a little bit more exaggerated than what you would see from like an American soldier when they're doing their marching. So that part was interesting. It was great to see those sights and then be able to really, you know, kind of understand a bit more of, you know, see it, you know, in real time, you know, what I've always heard about or seen on TV. So I thought that was really cool. They have these arches that are throughout the streets. I'm sure there's an actual legitimate name for it, but we ended up paying €5 to go to one of the top of these arches, and it was at a place where they had like a some sort of memorial for military. So that was really kind of cool, and had, you know, some good shots from up on top of one of those arches. Which I didn't realize you can go up in those, and the guy I was with didn't know that either until I had saw a few people that were up in those, and I'm like, hey, we can go in there, and then we just asked, and they said it was like €5, which is what, just about $6. I was like, you know, hell, we've got an afternoon to kill, why not? So we do that. Just so you know, before we left, the guy that that I was with, he had convinced me that the Tower of London would be a good self-paced tour because you get to see a lot of cool things. So we already had that on our agenda of things to do. So we grab a taxi from the area that we were walking around, and then we go over to the Tower of London, and then we paid, I don't know, it was was it €25? I don't remember now. Anyway, whatever it was, we paid, and you essentially, it's a castle, and you have the different towers of the castle that you can explore, and each one of those has different things that, a different theme of things that kind of happened. So, like, one of the towers had the, you know, a bunch of armor that you could see throughout the ages. The one that I took a picture of and was really quite interesting was, I think it was Henry VII, if I remember right. I could look it up on my phone right now because I took a picture of the placard. But if I remember right, it's Henry VII or Henry VIII, maybe the VII. And his armor had been built with kind of an endowment for where his penis, his dick would have been, and it was kind of like protruding. It's the first bit of armor that ever had that, so it was drawing a crowd to see that, and it was kind of gold plated too, where the rest of it was like silver plated. So very interesting how it was kind of emphasized and built, you know, for a bigger disposition, if you will. So you would think that Henry was a little full of himself, maybe, as I'm sure most of them were. The other things that were there were the crown jewels, which was very interesting to see. The first thing that I was impressed by was the solid gold. I want to say it was an anointment spoon. And I was like, why would they go through all that trouble for a spoon? But I guess it has something to do with when you're getting anointed, you have special oil of some sort, and that spoon is what they used for that anointment oil. But so many things gold-plated and just really emphasized. There was like this one wine tub that, you know, could handle, I want to say, I forget how big it was. It was just ginormous. And it could hold many, many, many bottles of wine. And it had this big gold inlaid or spoodle-looking thing that was just ginormous. And it was just like, you know, I wonder, you know, who was this guy, you know, the person that had said, I need a party bowl, you know, that's huge like that. And, you know, commissioned somebody to build it for him. And it had so much intricate statues on the side and like minifigures. And it was just all, you know, all gold. It was just crazy. It was just completely unbelievable. And, you know, somebody had been, you know, some king would have came out and said, you know what, I need a, you know, 15-gallon wine trough, and it has to be all gold, and I want to make sure you have, like, horses and, like, angels and all that on the side of it. So go build it for me. Do it now. And so just it's amazing the amount of effort and what would have been involved to build that, given the technology that they used back then to build stuff. Another one of the towers had like torture stuff. So it was very educational and, you know, really kind of gave me a vibe for how things would have been back then. So very enjoyable. It was definitely worth the effort of going through that self-guided tour. The other thing that, you know, was significant about London was that all said and done throughout the day, once we got done, we had about 16,000 steps registered on my phone. So that was very significant for walking around. So once we got done with that, we jumped on the train, went to Ely, and bada bing, got to the hotel. I could talk about the hotel on the next one. So I've already gone on almost 15 minutes just talking about London, but I kind of thought that was going to happen. So let us jump forward and talk about an essential movie, which is why you're listening to this in the first place. So let's insert the bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I.
Joe!
It. To each other. And... party on, dudes!
All right, hello everybody. This is Dave, and this is Banzai Retro Club. Appreciate you listening to another one of our Essential Movie Podcast episodes. For those of you that are already familiar with this, then you can tune out for the next 30 seconds. But for all you new people, the Essential Movie episodes is basically a list that I had found on RottenTomatoes.com. This is made by their editorial staff, where they decided the 140 essential 80s movies that everybody should watch. What I decided to do as a personal challenge was to create a podcast episode for each one of these movies, starting with 140 and working my way forward to number one. This episode is episode 97, which is Working Girl 1988. So as I do, I will insert the trailer for Working Girl here.
There isn't any room at the top for local girls like us.
I'm not giving up.
In the land of opportunity.
They're not gonna give you no shot test. They're gonna shoot you.
Where dreams are won and lost.
Spray me down?
Sorry?
Well, I can't very well walk around my own party clinging.
Someone's about to get what she deserves.
I know I'm asking an awful lot, Tess, but I don't know what else to do. I need you to take over.
Do me a favor, be me. Be my secretary.
You do, sir?
Thank you, Cynthia.
Hold all calls, Miss McGill?
Yes, Cynthia, thank you.
Can I get you anything, Mr. Trainer? Coffee, tea, me?
Isn't she right? That'll be all, Cynthia.
But how you look.
I have a head for business and a bod for sin. Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
20th Century Fox presents Harrison Ford.
Last night was special.
It wasn't so special. I had to carry up 3 flights of stairs.
Sigourney Weaver.
This woman is my secretary.
She's not.
Oh, no? Ask her.
Melanie Griffith.
How about you?
I'm flat broke. I'm crazy about a man that I will probably never see again.
Well, besides that.
In a new film directed by Mike Nichols.
I'm telling you, she's your man.
Working Girl.
You know, maybe I just don't like you.
Me? Nah.
And then what I'll do is I'll say, hey, Google, tell me about the movie Working Girl.
Here's the synopsis of Working Girl. Savvy New York City receptionist Tess McGill, Melanie Griffith, gives her conniving boss, Catherine Parker, Sigourney Weaver, an excellent business tip, but Catherine simply steals the idea without giving due credit to her secretary. After Catherine winds up in the hospital with an injured leg, Tess decides to exact revenge. Pretending to be her boss, Tess initiates a major deal with an investment broker, Harrison Ford, but things turn ugly after Catherine finds out what Tess has been up to.
All right, so here's the part of the episode where I tell you I haven't seen it. And I can almost hear the what or the from you right now. And I'm going to go on the record to tell you that I have mentioned this as well to my wife. And she believes that this is a major travesty and a big gap in my 1980s knowledge. We had this thing that got posted on Facebook where it was pretty much, I think it was a list of 30 movies, and of, you know, and you're supposed to reply back to that post with how many you'd actually seen. And my wife had a higher score than I have. And when we got to talking about the movies that I hadn't seen, because we're over at a friend's house, and I list Working Girl as one of those. Both our friend and my wife are like believe that that's almost sacrilege. And here's the real funny part about all of that, is that I think I even gotten the same response from maybe even Scott. But the thing is like, you know, of all the times that we're looking for something to watch on like on demand, never once do I hear the words, let's bring up Working Girl so you can see this and I'll watch it with you. Never once heard that. In the 20 years that I've been married to her, I've never seen her watch this movie. So why is this such a big deal if nobody's rewatching it? I mean, you've seen it once, and everybody seems to love this movie, but nobody's watching it over and over again. I mean, is there anybody out there that is, you know, has Working Girl on DVD and they're watching it like every other weekend? You know, maybe once a month, maybe twice a year. Are you doing that? I haven't heard of anybody that does that. But everybody seems to love this movie. So probably why it would have hit high on my wife's radar is she is a fan of Harrison Ford. So she's kind of had a thing for that guy for a while. In fact, I think that it was one of those, you know, celebrity pass. Like if Harrison were to come up and he offered himself to her, then she would get the celebrity pass. Whereas, you know, I would go more like around the Jennifer Love Hewitt area. But nonetheless, Working Girl wasn't on my radar. It just wasn't something that I made time for. And it's something I haven't made time for yet. But if somebody were to say, hey, you know, we're going to spend, you know, the evening as a group and watching this movie, or my wife wants to say, hey, I want to watch this with you, I'm not going to stop it. I'm going to say, okay, let's watch it. So I'm not opposed to seeing it. I just haven't made time for it, but I'm waiting for somebody to initiate that with me. You know, based on what I know about it, you know, it seems like a cool premise. Sigourney Weaver seems to be the atypical executive that it will do anything to make things happen. And, you know, Melanie Griffith is just kind of the, you know, the person that is at the right place at the right time to be able to take advantage of a situation when, you know, when appropriate. Yeah. So that's all. I don't know much about, you know, what goes on here other than what I just heard from the synopsis. I'm sure there's some pivotal scenes and some iconic scenes of this movie and, you know, some parts that would make it, you know, an essential 1980s movie. But having not seen it and not being that familiar with it, I really don't know where to go with that. I did watch a video clip, I don't know, a little while ago, and I did see Joan Cusack, who was had some very funky 80s hair, if I remember right. You know, it was big hair for the 1980s in the business place. So she was rocking the 80s too. So that's pretty much what I've seen from this movie. Yeah. Other than that, I'm really got nothing. Like I said, I'm sure one of these days I'll get to see it. But I'm not going to be sitting by myself and drinking a bourbon and hitting the Xfinity remote and saying it, you know, show me, or, you know, find Working Girl. It's just not going to happen. But, you know, if somebody, like I said, is in my area of friends, or, you know, my wife says, you know, hey, we're going to watch this together, then that's what we'll do. It'll be good. So I'm basically done with this. I wish I had more to say about it. I wish I had seen it so that I would have a little more information about the actual movie. But I have a feeling that those of you that have seen the movie, and you might be listening to this and maybe unfollowing us at this moment because I haven't seen this movie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to you. You know, if it's that beloved of a movie, I would love to know how many times you've seen it. Have you seen it multiple times? Have you seen it once a year? Is it something you make time for at a regular interval? Or is it just kind of happen where you, when you're checking channels and you see it on, you know, on already, do you just watch it in progress? Or do you actually go out and find it on, you know, some sort of streaming service and queue that bad boy up? I'd love to know all that. So if you could send me an email with that information, McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. I'd love to know if it's something that, if you feel that passionate about this movie, what is it, and should I be making time on my own to go see it? Or even more importantly, if I do find it and it's, you know, that I'm going to be charged for a certain amount, what is that amount that would be willing to pay? Is it a 99 cent movie? Is it a $2.99 movie? Or is it up to a $5 movie? You know, $4.99. So what, you know, what say you? You know, what would be a good dollar amount? This is me reminding you that we have a website out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. That was a bad segue. I'm sorry. Bonsai Retro Club is BANZAI. On that, we have links to our social media. So go out there, follow us on all that. Do some interactions, please. We'd love to get your feedback on just any of our episodes. You can, you know, tweet to us, or you can follow us on Instagram and even comment on some of the pictures that we're posting there, which I'm getting better at. We're also on Facebook, so you'll find all those links through our website, so please do that. On the blog, we'll also have the visual guide for the essential movie episodes, so if you want to go on and click the movie posters, you can get to the link for that specific episode. All that being said, I'd like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 On the next episode of the Essential Movies, we're going to be talking about Flight of the Navigator 1986.
New Jerusalem.